Ladies, April 12th to the 14th, there is a retreat at Lake Geneva at Conference Point Center. You can sign up if you go through those doors and go to that table right there after the service today, okay? So today we're going to have the message and then we're going to do what we're talking about, which is worship, all right? Now, if you're having some kind of withdrawal because Matt moved your seat, he says he's going to put him back next week. We'll see how that goes, okay? But just relax, all right? We are in Acts chapter 16. We're going to talk about worship, and then we're going to be able to do that. We're going to worship after that. We're going to come to the table. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. All right, so I'm going to pick it up in the 11th verse. From Troas we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day we went to Neapolis. From there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony, the leading city of the district of Macedonia, and we stayed there for several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and we began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. Don't miss this. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message when she and the members of her household were baptized. She invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. I'm going to stop right there. The first point in your outline is everyone worships someone or something. Did you hear what it said? It said she was a worshiper of God. Are you a worshiper of God? People worship a lot of stuff. I have to be careful with Harley Davidsons. I've told this story over and over. Boy, the first time I had a 94 Harley, it was beautiful. I waxed it all up. I sat it in the garage. I went in the house. I opened the door to the garage. I looked out. It was beautiful. It was shining. I closed the door, and I heard thud. I thought, man, that was a funny sound. I opened the door again, and there was that Harley laying on its side. And God was saying to me, "You can't worship this thing." One day God said to me, "Do you take care of your wife as well as you take care of that motorcycle?" I'm telling you, that was a humbling day for me. People worship all kinds of stuff. People worship cars. People worship money. People worship other people. The way you're sitting here going, "Well, what do we worship? How do we know what we worship? How much time do you spend with certain things?" Time is a big indicator of what we worship or we don't worship. Do you spend time with God? "Well, you know, Pastor, I'd like to read the Word, but I'm just too busy." Picture yourself saying that to God. I didn't have time to read your Word, Lord. Didn't have time to go to church and worship. Didn't take the time to worship you during the day. I learned to worship in a tractor cab. Nobody can hear you there. I can sing at the top of my lungs. But do you worship when you're by yourself? I was riding with the Bikers for Christ one day, and I had my clutch in hand because I didn't need it up, worshiping the Lord. And they were like, "What were you putting your hand up for, man? Like, did you have to go to the bathroom or what was going on, you know?" And I was like, "No, I was praising the Lord. One of my favorite country songs was on." See? You can worship with different music. It's not a matter of if you like the music, you don't like the music. Worship for me, I love country music. I've been listening to a country song. It says, "I raise my hand, I bow my head. I'm finding more and more in the words written in red." That's worship. When you give your tithe, it's worship. When you spend time helping out and serving others, that's worship. Are you a worshiper of God. We're going to read on. Once when they were going to a place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money by her owners or for her owners by telling fortunes. She followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. And finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you, come out of her." And at that moment, the spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and they dragged them in to the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods after they had been severely flogged. They were thrown into the prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. Now, don't miss this, church. What would you do if you were beaten and you were bleeding and you were put in chains and stocks, and they probably stretched them out so they weren't comfortable? Verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. I'm going to stop there for a minute. Your next point, Paul and Silas worshiped God in the midst of pain and suffering. See, what would you do if you were beaten and you were bloody? We know they were bloody because it says later on you're going to see the jailer dress their wounds. He tended to their wounds. So we can't go, well, they were just hit a couple times. They were bleeding. They were hurting. And they made a choice. It's a choice to worship, church. It's easy to worship when everything's going good. "Oh, Lord, thank you. My bank account's running great right now. My car's running great." What about when the tire goes flat? What about when the bank account's empty? It's very important, church, that we worship. Very important. Now, if you're looking at verse 25, look at what it says. The other prisoners were listening. It's your next point. People are listening. You ever been talking about God in a restaurant and you look around and people are kind of going, "I can't believe what I'm hearing these people say." You know, when we were worshiping, just the first two songs today, you know, folks, I hope you know we're just getting warmed up. This place is going to light up in a little bit. I want Lake Geneva to hear us. That's why we go uptown to the park and we worship uptown. We want them to hear us. People are listening. I've talked to people who were singing and worshiping. My wife one day was praying in an elevator, and all of a sudden it stopped before she thought it was supposed to and opened up, and there she was praying, and people looked at her and she just kind of went. What's the charge? We caught them praising God in the elevator. People are listening. They hear what you say. Our children are listening. Teach them to worship, all right? Teach them to worship. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, the prison doors flew open. Everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We're all still here." The jailer called for lights and rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas, and then brought them out and asked, "Sirs," folks, don't miss this, "what must I do to be saved?" If you worship in the midst of your trials and in the pain, all of a sudden somebody's going to ask you the question, and then you get the answer. You get to be part of someone passing from death to life. They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in the house. And at that hour of the night, the jailer took them. He washed their wounds. Then immediately, he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. And he was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God. He and his whole household. When it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the order, "Release those men." The jailer told Paul, "And the magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace." I love the Apostle Paul. What would you have done? I would have booked out of there. The jailer told Paul, "The magistrates said that you and Silas are released. Go in peace." Paul said to the officers, "They beat us publicly without a trial, even though we're Roman citizens. They threw us into prison. Now do they want to get rid of us quietly? No, let them come themselves and escort us out." The officers reported this to the magistrates, and when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. They came to appease them and escorted them from the prison, requesting them to leave the city. After Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house where they met with the brothers and sisters and encouraged them, and then they left. Okay? What's the next point, Randy? I should know it by heart. The results of worship are practical, not mystical. Hear what I'm saying, they're practical. Did you see the things that happened? When they worshiped, the chains fell off. The doors flew open. Real life situations change. It's not mystical. What happens when the Holy Spirit starts to move? You always have somebody. I used to be the leader of a charismatic prayer group. And I was at a charismatic prayer group and we were all worshiping the Lord. We were praising God. And one guy, he was new there that night. This big guy, he went, "Come here," like this, and you always go, "Oh boy." And he was sitting down, and I sat down next to him, and he said, "Do you see it?" I said, "Do you see what?" "You see that cross up there?" He says, "The Holy Spirit's here. He's starting, the cross is moving." And I went, "Oh yeah." I said, "You know what I think that is?" He said, "What?" I said, "The furnace just kicked on." Please hear what I'm saying. When the Holy Spirit begins to move and a church begins to worship and the church begins to pray and you're a worshiper of God, then the enemy will come in and try to get everybody mystical. And I saw this and I did that. And there was gold dust in the air, to which I said, "Bring me a jar. We need a new parking lot. Bring me a jar. We need a new addition in the back." It's practical. The chains fell off. They were set free. Souls were saved. Lydia and her household were saved. The girl was set free. She was set free from a familiar spirit. See, when God's in charge and when He starts to move, real stuff happens to real people. It's practical. It's in our text, church. The next point, Randy. Worship sets people free. Not just physically, but spiritually. That young slave girl was set free from a familiar spirit. Physically, the chains fell off. Body, mind, spirit. You'll be set free if you'll worship. In the good times, and in the bad times. Praise the Lord. Abraham praised God. Isaac and Jacob praised God. King David praised God when they were hunting him down in the caves. How many battles in the Old Testament did they send the worship team in first? Church, let's praise God. Worship Him. Next point. Soul safety was always Paul's priority. What would you have done if a guy beat you and put you in chains and stretched you out and put you in a dark, cold prison at night? And then the chains fell off and the doors opened up and he took out his sword and he was going to run himself through, because if a Roman guard lost his prisoner, he was going to die anyway. And Paul shouts to him, "Don't hurt yourself." And I think today so many people would go, "No, he deserves to die." Soul safety was Paul's priority. "Don't harm yourself," he said. "We are all here." And then he comes in. I love the description. And the jailer fell down before him and he was trembling. And he said, "What shall I do to be saved?" What will happen if we start to worship, church, if we're worshipers of God, when we're in church and when we're out of church? I thank God when I catch fish, and I thank God when I don't catch fish. But I thank God on the lake. I thank God wherever I'm at. Worship Him. Glorify Him. Bring Him into your life, church. Bring Him in. You'll win souls. People will see. They're listening to you. Next point. The one we worship changes people and circumstances. Did you notice I didn't say worship changes things? It's the one we worship. If you worship God, I cannot exhort you enough today, church, to begin to praise God. I dare you to sing in your car. Sing Uptown. But it's not just singing. You can thank God. You can speak it out. You can do things that are worship. And glorify Him in everything you say and do. Bring Him in to everything. That's worshiping the one true God. Eat, drink, and sleep Him. Years ago, I sold my cows. I needed a place to live. My mom owned a house. She was going to get remarried. My dad had passed away, and somebody was going to buy her house. Have you ever been in the middle of a nuclear family explosion? And I said to my brothers and sisters, "If you want mom's house, buy it." "Nope, we don't want the house." I said, "Okay, I'm going to buy it." "You can't buy it." And this went on for a few weeks, you see. And it was just frustrating. And this is what I did. I was so upset, and I walked out of my house, and I walked out to a 40-acre field, and I walked from one end to the other, and I started to sing. I'll never forget this, because I don't do that usually, see? And I sang, "I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice." And I sang it from one end to the other, and a peace came over me, and I went home, and I said, "God, just find us a place to live. I don't care where it is. I don't care what it is. Find us a place to live where the roof doesn't leak and we're content." The very next morning, I got a phone call from my mom. She said, "I don't care what anybody said. I'm selling you the house for this price. It's yours. I want you to have it." It was over with. Tell me worship doesn't change people and circumstances. Amen. Worship at all times. One of the funniest things ever happening to me worshiping, last story, and we're going to start worshiping the Lord. We're going to do the message. I was in Israel. It was just the best time. What a blessing. And we were going through Hezekiah's tunnel. Hezekiah's tunnel is about the width of my shoulders, and sometimes you had to go like this to go through. You know, man, they chiseled it with hammers and chisels. And so we're going through Hezekiah's tunnel, and you're walking in water about this deep, you see, and it's kind of claustrophobic here. And I noticed all the people around me were getting real quiet, kind of going through and looking like this. And I'm thinking, uh-oh, somebody's going to freak out in here, you know? And I got this idea. Came into my head. I think it was from God. He said, start singing all the Christian songs you can remember. And I'm like, me? And so I said to the people around me, I said, let's start singing all the Christian songs we can remember. And we sang every song from This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine, to Amazing Grace. We just went on and on. And we sang the rest of the way through the tunnel. And by the time we were done, we were all laughing. We were having a blast, you see? And then didn't think any more of it. And that night at dinner, people came running up to pat my wife and I, and they're like, hey, guess what? They said, Erwin Lutzer wants to have you at his table. And I'm like, right. And they said, no, we're serious. He told us to come and get you. We went and we sat down. I got to sit right next to Erwin Lutzer. And halfway through the meal, he goes, I heard some crazy pastor was singing in the tunnel today. And he goes, I heard about that. And I got to talk to him about his latest book and everything going on. And I thought, all because I wanted to sing in a tunnel. Church, you might be in the cattle chute today. You know, you might be funneled in and you think, I can't get out. And Lord, how are you going to fix this? And what are we going to do? And what I want to say to you is start to worship God. Going to have the worship team come now, and we're going to be praising the Lord, and then we're going to come to the table and celebrate the Lord's Supper. But I want to encourage you today, whether you usually sing or you don't, cut loose, somebody's going to hear. Especially God's going to hear. And let's let our voices be heard and watch what God will do. He will start to move. He will come into your situation and he will change you and he will change the circumstances. Let's praise the Lord.